Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and this is Carl from Deviant Legion, and of course, Incredibly Strange Films, Incredibly Strange Television, and we're Incredibly Strange here. And of course, today we're going to be doing our part two of our Kick-Ass Women in Film and TV. And as always, I want to introduce my co-host, his girl, Nadia. That's an inside joke. And that would be Miss Rachel. Hello, Miss Rachel.
You know, people are strange when you're a stranger. So I guess we're all normal folk here now that we're getting introductions out of the way.
This is true. And of course, we're very, very happy to have back with us one of the great people who know sci-fi so well, and that, of course, would be Miss Vicki Love. Nice to have you back with us, Vicki.
You don't have to struggle with it, Carl. Just say
I almost called you a fan, and you like to send out you
a kick fan. Yes, clear across the country.
I almost did.
Clear across the country. Hello, everyone.
Exactly.
And Rachel, I just do not know how much I love you. I love you so much. I can't love you more. And then you start the podcast with that. And yes, I love you so
well,
much.
Well, since you're my sci-fi freakness there, we can just say I love you to the moon and back, Vicki.
There you go.
We should go to space someday.
I plan on it. You know, William Shatner right now, he's planning on it. He's planning his funeral and his ex-wife, who might be his wife again soon. She's like, stop planning your funeral. You're so depressing. And he's like, if I could just be in space like all my friends are, I'll be happy. So,
yeah.
Yeah, appropriate.
And by the way, it's his 92nd birthday, isn't it?
Yes,
I'm
today
not
is.
Sure about the date. Yeah, yesterday,
yes.
I think.
No, today, the day after spring.
Today, okay.
Today. And like Leonard Nimoy, they were born on the same week in March, so it's kind of important for Star Trek fans. And those of us who are not fans but love it like it's our breath. So, anyway, this is about female kick-ass characters, right? And we're going to do 21st century,
yep.
Right? We
oh,
ended
absolutely.
With the, yeah.
And we're
going to
start.
With,
we ended last week with we were talking about Aaron's son, and we started, and you said, we'll wait for that here. So go right ahead, Vicki. This is yours.
Okay, on my Facebook page today and yesterday, I won't change it till tomorrow, I feature Aaron's son. One of the most iconic female characters of all of television when it comes to science fiction and kick-ass and strong, and then learns how to be vulnerable, learns how to love, because in Farscape, this fantastically wonderful television series that went 5 seasons and a movie and did a great
mm-hmm.
job of beginning and end. I know how much you love it, Rachel. Aaron's son is one of the very first really big, giant, women come in. I don't know anything about love, and that's because of her character's story and who is efficient in flying the spaceship, using all kinds of different weapons. It's just, she's just this soldier. And then
she was
has
literally
to
raised to be a soldier. She's
exactly.
like...
Exactly.
I mean, and I don't even want to say Space Viking, because they totally have one of those in that show, too.
Yeah,
but
so, yes,
she is like, she is raised in a society that she was basically adopted into, we find out, but raised in a society
right.
where there is no love, there is no affection. You are a fucking soldier. That is your love and affection, like advancing
right.
through the ranks at all costs. That's
yes.
how you get your jollies. So, like, this woman is thrown into the most fucked up situation with this brass,
other
cheesy American fucking Maverick-style pilot dude who's from the past, did I mention? And she has to spend, like, most of her time, even when they, spoiler alert, inevitably fall in love, trying not to kill his ass. And
yeah.
good Lord, that woman, her suffering never ends. Oh, my
her
God.
Suffering never ends. Except the very, very end, which I have to thank the writers, the directors, the producers of that show. They gave Aaron peace. And it came
oh
at a horrible
God.
Cost, a terrible cost. And yet she's smiling, and you know that she's at peace. I mean, the world could just erupt again in another peacekeeper war. That's what they were called. They're the only equivalent I can think of here, like in America, are the really, really tough Rangers, Marines, the ones who dedicate the Navy SEALs.
Like the fucking
dedicate.
SEAL team. Yeah,
yeah,
those guys. Like
yeah.
the elite fighters, the fucking Quantico
exactly.
team.
Yes,
yeah, and I mean,
people.
It was
that's,
just
that's
so, it was
and,
beautiful. And
it's beautiful,
for being,
right, watching her fight, trying to, this is right, oh, wait, this is wrong, I was raised this way, I feel this, no, I can't feel, blah, all that inner turmoil is so fantastic.
And, God, just the choices that she has to make, like, constantly,
yep.
just back to back to back. And, like, she dies so many freaking times, or you think she's dead, but, you know,
yes.
they figure it out right there at the end. And, I mean, I know that's all tropey and stuff, but there's a reason that this space opera was so fucking good.
And
even when
it
wasn't in space.
Time. Yes, even when it wasn't. Even when they went all the way back through the wormhole to what looked like America, but back to Earth. And
yeah.
And she rocked those 70s clothes. Oh, my God.
Oh, that was fucking hilarious. I just, everything about that show, and I told you,
yeah.
I recently binged that one. Like, not even, it was probably about a year ago. And I was
yeah.
finally like, you know what? My parents have been talking about this show since I was a kid. I don't know shit about it, but I've been seeing about it since I was a kid. So I finally sat down and watched it, and I was like, why did I waste, like, 20 years of my life not watching this show? Fucking hell. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it because it is brilliantly set in another part of the galaxy, a part of the Milky Way far, far away, it stands the test of time because everything that happens there is not linked to our timeline. And that's great. It's brilliant. And the reason why I didn't start watching it when it first came out is I had a prejudice against puppets. But you fall in love with those damn puppets.
Oh, my God. I know. I can't remember his name right now, but I don't even care
even
about
Rigel.
Him. But, like, the...
Yes,
Rigel.
You, at first you're like, oh, this damn puppet, I'd just like to punt kick him. And then, I mean, even Aaron has a soft spot for him, you know? Oh,
yeah,
that
but
one?
You still maintain throughout his tenure in the show that you still want to punt him.
Even at the end, yes. Yes, so, yes, this is an incredibly well put together, done show with the female lead, who she's not the only female lead. All the females are strong.
She is not the only
this
female.
Show. She is the main. Even though Zahn is there from the very beginning, Aaron's story. You know, she's a protagonist.
Oh,
just like
well,
John
Aaron's
Clayton.
Story. Aaron's from the very first scene, basically.
Yes.
And yeah, Zahn's there from the beginning too. But she dies before the end of the show. And who didn't bawl like a little bitch when that happened? Oh, my God.
I did, okay? I need to step in here for a moment and just say, Vicky knows this, but I have a thing for blue women. I always have. And I actually
had a
blue Russian cat. I had a blue Russian cat, which I named Zahn. And that's Virginia Hay who played that character. And, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and
she
I know that her.
Oh, sorry.
Ahead.
Well, I was just going to
say. Yeah.
Are you going to talk about Mad Max?
No.
Virginia Hay is in The Road Warrior. She is that beautiful woman with the sandy brownish blonde hair who.
Yeah.
Yeah, who has she wields the big it's not a bow and arrow. It's a giant one though. So it's like a cannon or something. And she first came to science fiction eyes in The Road Warrior, and everyone's like, who is that, man, she's strong, wow, she's cool and all this, and everybody wants to be her. And in fact, that year for Halloween, women dressed like her for Halloween. I remember it really well. Virginia Hayes is not afraid to be physical and not afraid to show her femininity in these roles. And so, yeah, yes for Zahn.
I was going to say, I know that we're trying to focus more on just the character themselves, but if we're talking about badass women and femininity, I do have to say that Virginia Hayes has the best reason for why she asked for her character to be written out of the show.
Yes.
Because when there was a writer's strike, and so they were all off of work for like fucking ever. And she had to keep like shaved bald for years while filming this show. And of course she owned it. She was beautiful. She rocked that shit. But during the strike, when her hair started growing out, she started to remember her femininity again, as she put it, and realized that she wanted more control over her own body and self, and that as much as she loved the role, she was looking forward to exploring further without being so limited by the role. So I thought that was like a badass power move. Basically, I feel like a woman again, and I love you guys, but I love me more. Deuces. So
yep.
I love her for that.
I love her too. She's just one of my favorite women actresses of all time. But then again, I love all these women who have been in Farscape, because the Australian actors have a different take on acting than American actors, because, you know, they're so far away and they have to do their own things. And so all these women brought to their character this Australian attitude, because it's an Australian show. Farscape would have never been made if it was pitched in America. It's all Australian, and that's why
it's totally
made. Yeah. And so,
and
you
that's one thing I really I appreciated their writing. I actually appreciate a lot of female writing, Australian female writing, because they tend to give more power and more depth to their female characters. It's not just, you know, I'm here as arm candy and I'm here as eye candy and I'm the smart one, but I'm still pretty hot.
Exactly.
And they also, this is something I rarely ever say, and sorry to bring up the dudes again, but just how perfect this show is, they wrote an American, like a brass, cheesy American dude. And it's like they did nothing but watch, like, all of those Maverick-type movies and all of that. And they just did it so perfectly. Just
And all his
so
references
perfectly.
Are Star Trek and, I mean, he just, Star Wars. He brings all that Americana with him into his language, his references, so that you as the audience, you hear him and you're like, oh, yeah, I'd probably say that in that situation, too. Oh, yeah. And it's just a brilliant show. Brilliant.
But mostly most brilliant for their female writers, because like you said, I love every single female character in that show, or main character. I don't love every single one, obviously. But
Right.
And even when they do just horribly fucked up things. You understand, like, you totally get it, and it's like, So, yeah, that's
Aaron's
why
mom.
We didn't,
Aaron's
we did not
mom.
Have enough time this last episode to get into all of that, so I'm glad we're here again.
Yes, because this show, absolutely, kudos, this show, I think that, Limes and I talked about doing a show on Farscape, just a whole 2 hours worth of Farscape. And this show, we could talk about it for 2 hours. It's got so much depth to it. I mean, just the bio ships, right? And
oh my
just
God,
the ethics, just the ethics of taking a living creature and making a spaceship out of it, and then the ethics of taking that creature, making it pregnant, and taking it and making its baby a weapon of mass destruction. I mean, whoa, come on, that's crazy stuff. It's a great show.
Well, and I mean, don't forget about the fact that not only is the ship an integrated living being, but so is the pilot.
Yes. Oh, I cry every single time that those episodes come up where they take his arms. Oh, my God.
Oh, don't even bring that up. No,
I know.
Like you said, that's another episode because, I was not prepared for that. Too soon.
No one is prepared for what happens to Pilot, and Pilot is the most giving of all creatures. Oh, he and Moya together are the most giving, and they are always abused. It's just awful. It shows what human beings do, or higher brained people, I don't know how you want to call it over in their section of the galaxy, but how we abuse animals because they can't fight back. It's just it's lovely. It's horrible, but it's lovely that that's also included in it. It's just the things just keep going. So Farscape. Erin Sung, look at my Facebook. You'll see her, and you'll fall in love with her because she's beautiful, but then watch her for other reasons.
Want to add something else very quickly. The actress, who is Claudia Black, is in one of my favorite science fiction films, and that's when I first saw her. And that is the beginning of the Riddick films,
Pitch Black.
Netflix
just put it on its Netflix just introduced it 2 days ago into its rotation for films. In fact, Riddick, they introduced Riddick over the weekend, and then Monday, because today's Wednesday, I don't know, I've had an eventful week already.
Me too. Days are all blurred together.
I know. On Monday, I think it was Monday, they brought Pitch Black in. So you can watch Pitch Black and Riddick. They do not have the middle movie. They have the first movie, Pitch Black, and then they have the third movie, Riddick. And Vin Diesel announced
the second one.
Isn't
it like Triple X or something?
No, Triple X
Chronicles
is something
of
totally
Riddick.
Different. Yeah,
of Riddick. Chronicles
yeah, there you
of
go.
Riddick. Yes. Chronicles of Riddick, and then the third one's just called Riddick. And that's got Katie Sackhoff in it. That was right after Battlestar Galactica ended. And so, I mean, these are all really good films with all really good, great actors. I mean, Vin Diesel is in the first Pitch Black, which was before Fast and Furious, blah, blah, blah. We could go on and on about all this.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But we got to watch it for Katie. Like, that's
yeah.
It.
Oh, God. Yeah.
She's amazing.
And she's coming up. She's upcoming.
Yeah, yeah. So
she's a 21st
Katie
century
or,
gal.
Or wherever you want to go.
Well, wait. Let me, there was something I wanted to talk about. Resident Evil. This brings in gaming also, but
yeah.
Resident Evil, it spans the end of the 20th century into the 21st century. It started as a video game, and it has Jill Valentine as a kick-ass fictional character in the video game. My son played it since they were little. Don't tell the police out there, you know, video game police. But anyway,
yeah, you're
going to
get mommy shamed all over the internet for that. Don't worry.
And so then what happened was the game was such a tremendous, tremendous hit that was back in the days when they first started wanting to bring games to video or to film. And so they created a completely different character and I agree with this in many ways, because it's hard to adapt a video game to film or television if you're not really into the story. And, of course, The Last of Us is the best of the best. But we're talking about the end of the 20th century into the 21st century. And so they introduced Alice was created by Umbrella Company, okay? And the very first Resident Evil movie, I don't have it up here, Bridges, like the 1999, 2001, I'm not sure, 2002, I'm not sure, but it brings the game to the to film. And they chose Mila Jovovich to I'm sorry, I can't say your name correctly, but I love her. Love her. Okay, Fifth Element coming into Resident Evil, and Alice, that character. Yes, they created this character, but they didn't realize that they were creating in the story, they didn't realize what they were creating. They did not know that she was going to be almost like a superhuman soldier with morals. And so she, as a iconic, strong female character who has carried now a couple of decades worth of films.
I know she's in, at least like five of them, right?
Yeah, she's in all of them. She's actually in all of them.
No, there's a new one she's not in.
I haven't seen it. That's what I've been hearing,
but I haven't seen it. I have not been up on my Resident Evil lately, but
right.
I will say that in the game, there's badass. Yes. You can play as your own badass female character, okay?
Right.
It's amazing.
Yes.
And in the movie, there are so many badass just females out there because, frankly, Alice doesn't trust anybody. No, Alice trusts anybody because, you know, there's that whole thing with the clones
right.
and all that shit. But
right.
whatever.
But the first film, dang, I should have the cast up. What's her name? Because she's in the Fast and Furious films also.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Michelle Rodriguez?
Yeah, Michelle. Yeah. Okay, that film, you think that the men, because they're all decked out in their military equipment, vests and guns and everything, but who really, mm-hmm. really kicks butt in that? And who's the most courageous in that whole film, you know? you have future, you have not Thomas Jane, but you have, I should have the cast up. This is bad of me. But there are a
for
lot of
shame.
People. Yeah, there's a lot of people in that film that go on to really great roles in other science fiction and horror film and television. And so that
yes.
first film is just like, drop your jaw. I didn't know this shit was going to happen. Wow.
Yeah, you can watch that film. And by the way, just so you know, you do actually get a brief shot of Mia Jovovich boobs, but really she doesn't have boobs. It's just all like midget fist nipples.
Right.
So if you're watching for that, just know that's your thing. There you go. But no, her character is a badass. Just like a lot of the characters she plays, like you mentioned, fucking Lilu from
yeah.
The Fifth Element. How is that not the most badass woman on the planet? Because, I mean, she's kind of responsible entirely for saving it or whatever, you know. So, yeah, like, I love – that's another one. I know, again, we're not focusing on the actors themselves, but there tend to be certain actors who not necessarily get typecast, but just pick some really good roles like that. I mean, we talked
yeah.
about Helen Mirren last week, but I don't think we talked about her character in the Red movies.
Right. I don't
that
think so. And those
can...
are 2000 movies. Those are 21st century movies.
Yes. So I love both of the Red movies. And again, not about the dudes here, but I do just have to quick shout out Bruce Willis. Oh, my Lord.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My heart is there. All the good vibes. So, yes, Helen Mirren's character in the Red movies, and I can never remember her name, but Bunny, basically. She's
right.
She's yeah. Bunny. God. Huh.
There's
was
that
there
iconic
anything...
shot of her. There's that iconic shot of her in that white dress with an Uzi, and let me tell you something. I dreamt about that many times.
I was
without
just, like, literally, that's what I was about to bring up. And it's not just the gun and the beautiful silky white dress, and she's got that stole on. It's when she, like, her, you know, foot comes out from the split, and she's got combat boots on. Oh,
yeah.
It's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
And
holy shit.
And one other
shit,
thing about her character in that I want to go through is her relationship with Brian Cox. That is such a wonderful relationship.
That's true.
Now,
yeah.
Here's another one I have to bring up, and I do need to look this woman up because I think she did another couple roles that were interesting, but I know Carl has seen the movie The Princess. That
yes.
came out last year. And,
what is it called?
Oh, my God, The Princess.
Oh, okay.
It's on Netflix, or it was. It was a Netflix movie. And The Princess, because that's all you ever know her as in the movie, is the most amazing, stunning, badass, I will rip you to motherfucking pieces, just try me, fuck around and find out kind of woman I have ever seen in a movie.
Really
let's just
good.
Say she wakes up chained to a bed. She's obviously been drugged. And she's wearing a wedding dress. Now, this is like medieval times shit, so she wakes up in a castle room chained to a bed in a wedding dress. And from the moment the two guards come into the room and she starts mastering her escape, it does not stop. And whoever the choreographer for this movie was is a flipping genius. You thought like Hidden Dragon, Crouching Tiger, and all that.
No,
was
it was
amazing.
Donnie Yen.
No.
It was Donnie Yen who did the choreography for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, I know. That's
it was Donnie Yen.
Why I brought that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was him with like way more technology and experience. So you think Crouching Tiger was fantastic as far as action. The stuff in this movie was so fucking seamless and visually stunning. I mean, typically fight scenes, it's like, okay, throw in some punches. Here's a kick. Boom, boom, yay. The bad guy got knocked down. No, holy crap. Now, I do have to say that the costumer in me wept throughout the entire movie because the dress she has is gorgeous. But the semi-trained fighter and brawler in me was like, yes, bitch, because somebody made this plausible as hell. I mean, like, the first thing she starts doing when she wakes up and really starts getting into the fight is she starts ripping that dress up. And as she goes through the movie and has to do more things, like, she's ripping more shit off the dress and, like, making bandages and, like, girding her loins with the huge skirt. And, yeah, I mean, all the things. All of the things. You're going to have to watch that one, Vicky, because my 13-year-old freaking loved it. They were like, Mom, you have to see this. This is like badass female representation. Like, I never get to see that. So,
I'll look it up.
And I agree with that 100%, without a doubt.
Oh, my God. You know, the choreography on that scene where she's sneaking through the dining hall.
Yes.
Like, just so pristine, and it's just, oh, she is such a badass. And they do have a semi-plausible reason for her being such a badass, so that kind of works.
That's cool.
I mean, it's a
That's
little
good.
Tropey still, but, man, I mean, for an hour and a half there, that is definitely a memorable character, and she kicked, fought, and clawed her way through every single man that stood in front of her, and the women, too. Because that's the other thing. The main bad guy in the show, or in the movie, is actually more the lady assassin assistant to the guy. Like, the guy that's trying to, like, manipulate everything, he's not that good at it. Everybody's scared of the chick with the ponytail.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. I love her, too. She's really good in that, too. Yeah, that's a great movie. I'm going to chime in with one of my choices. And I will preface this to say that I'm sure Vicky will disagree with me to a certain degree, but I really don't care. And I have to go I have to go with a TV series called 12 Monkeys. And there are two badasses in this film, female badasses. But the one is the brains. Now, often we think about a character, you know, whose female is kicking ass, and, you know, and does it physically. In this case, this is based on the Terry Gilliam film and on Le Chate. But they really, really stretch it out. It ran for four seasons. But the female scientist is Jones, and she's the one behind the time travel technology. She's the brains, but she has to go through utter hell throughout the four seasons. She spends a whole period of time in an alternate timeline surviving on her own and such. And she really is something. And she's also played by Barbara Sacova, who was one of Fassbinder's muses back in the early 70s in German. She's German. But she's really something. Also, the other one is the Brad Pitt character is changed. And it's now female, and it's Jennifer Goins. And Emily Hampshire.
No. If you're going to tell me Dr. Blondie is a badass, No. She was a fluffy little weirdo the whole time.
No. Not I Amanda mean, Pye. No.
I'm talking
about Jones.
About the older woman. who created the time machine or the Wayback machine. You know, she got it from Poindexter.
I have to ask you, Carl. I have to ask you about Barbara Sacova. Is that the one that was also in the movie back in the day, The Andromeda Strain?
No.
Okay.
No. That was, I can't think right offhand, but I know who you mean. But no. She was, as I said, she was a German actress. And so she was Fassbinder's muse for like 3 films in a row. She showed up on this, and I'm wondering I know that woman. Who is that? But Jones really, really is a badass in terms of her brains and what she does on that case. Emily Hansen.
I would never dispute that. I would never dispute that just because I don't like the show very much. And I did start watching it again just to see if I could stomach it. And I know what I don't like about that show is that its writing is bad. It is but anyway, that character is fascinating. And she has the most fascinating story of all the characters on that television show. And I would never dispute the fact of her being a kick-ass female character. I just don't like the show because sometimes it's just so soap opery. I can't, it's like General Hospital or something. I can't stand it.
Yeah, I get you there, like 100%. And maybe that's why, like, I did not get to finish watching it because I was watching it with someone who was supposed to continue watching it with me and then didn't. So I still haven't actually, and I'm going to have to go back and restart it to get back into the groove of things. But I agree 100% that Dr. Jones, she's totally badass.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just that
and
other
Emily
doctor
Hampshire,
from
I just
our
have to
time.
Mention her. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well,
I was just going to mention Emily Hampshire. You would know her from Schitt's Creek. And she's awesome on that show.
I've never watched it.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, she's amazing. She is just, oh, love that girl. Anyway.
I
totally agree with you on that character. That character is it's not worth the pain of watching that entire series, but she's worth it.
I just want to say the reason I said that is I know you don't like the show, but to me it's like one of the best science fiction shows of the new millennium. So, you know, go watch it and see which end you're on, whether you're Team Carl or Team Vicky. Because it is worthwhile just for Jones.
Well, some of those episodes are just soap opery without her. Anyway, I want to mention another character that bridges the gap between the 1990s and all the way through into the second decade of the 21st century, and that is Samantha Carter of Stargate SG-1, who started out in the mid-90s on Stargate on Showtime, and then it went to Sci-Fi Channel, and had a long 10-year run through 2008, 2009. Then Atlantis had started. Then she moved over to Atlantis for a couple of seasons. Samantha Carter could do everything. I think we talked about her a little bit last show. She carries the show many times. She's so smart. She's so brave. Her character arc is never boring. But the actress who plays her, also after Stargate was over, when Stargate Universe began, the movies to the Stargate franchise had already come out, and those were over. Stargate Universe, Samantha Carter, she was a colonel now. She had other things to do, and Stargate Universe went on to a different trajectory, which didn't really have too many strong female characters in it, although they tried. But Amanda Tapping went on to play one of my very favorite, and this is in the 2010, so I apologize for skipping further, but she started back in the 90s, so I just want to kind of get this in right now, because I don't know if Carl or Rachel have ever seen Sanctuary. And Sanctuary started out as a web series back when they didn't think web series were going to make it. So they started them out as very small, low budget. And Amanda Tapping and Martin Wood and, oh, God, now I can't think of the writer, Damien, I can't think of his name.
Lindelof?
No, God, not that fucker. Don't mention his name on a woman show. He doesn't like women. So I know he did Watchmen. Everyone loved it. Let's just skip it. You didn't mention that name. So anyway, it started as a web series, and you could see it on the Internet, but you could also see it on Sci-Fi Channel, Sanctuary. And Helen Magnus is the main character. And through an incredibly creative character arc, this woman, when we are introduced to her, she is 156 years old. And the story from when she became immortal, or she's not quite immortal, but this long lifespan, has incredible actors in the series. The series was picked up by Sci-Fi Channel, and it ran through for four seasons. And it's fantastic if you're looking for a strong, fictional, sci-fi female character that you haven't seen before. I beg you, I encourage you to hunt down Sanctuary. You'll see Amanda Tapping in gorgeous long black hair, and she looks even more beautiful in black hair than blonde hair. You won't believe it till you see it. Sometimes some of her Stargate co-stars show up on the show, but it's a fantastic, wonderful series about what they call abnormals, people who are born with powers, people who are born different, special, and are shunned by society. And Helen Magnus is there to protect these people. That's why it's called Sanctuary. It's a great show. I love it. I absolutely love this show. And so I recommend strong female character, Amanda Tapping, Sanctuary. Helen Magnus, great show. Okay, you guys don't know that show, right?
That reminds me so much of a show and a character that I loved. Hold on. Haven. That was on Sci-Fi for a while.
Absolutely.
Dude.
In fact, the whole series is sitting right next to my leg right here. Yes.
Agent Audrey Parker is OMG. I love
right.
that woman.
Strong female character. And she's not afraid to show her vulnerabilities either.
She's not. And that's what makes her such a strong character. And, I mean, of course, ultimately what helps with, you know, the troubles, as it were, is the
right.
fact that she does show the vulnerability. And I just, it's so amazing because she doesn't take shit from anybody. She wants to know what the fuck is going on, because she knows something's wonky. And she's not stupid. She's one of the few female characters that I see that doesn't make incredibly stupid decisions.
Right. Right.
She doesn't just, you know, run off into the tornado gun drawn.
Right. Right. She's extremely smart. She is part of the FBI. And she's just, I don't know how to explain her other than she's one of those characters that you wish you could run into in in real life because she's so much like a real life person that I think that's one of the reasons. This is one of the best Stephen King characters ever created. And because her character is the way it is, her character is so strong and level-headed that this series went all the way through to the end. And, of course, you know, if you have Stephen King's backing, of course, you know, you're going to keep going.
Well, yeah.
But,
well,
but
and it went all the way through to the end. Even through some of the really crazy, unbelievable, you know, and obviously, like, I'm saying unbelievable in this kind of show, really, magic troubles and shit. But even when it gets into the weird, weird shit, and you're like, is this about to be jumping the shark? You still stick through it, and it totally ends up being worth it in the end. It's not quite what you expect, but you realize that that's the way things are going to be happy, you know?
Right. Right.
And
right.
I loved
so.
That show. And it actually introduced me to a lot of actors that I ended up seeing later in stuff that I'm just like, oh, my God, like, these guys are amazing. So, yeah I just had to mention Audrey Parker. She is a straight-up badass.
I'm so glad you did because she is she carried that whole show. I mean, there were guest stars and reoccurring characters who were great actors.
Just a moment, guys. I will be right back. I am so sorry.
Sure. And so Audrey Parker, and she has a great character arc that keeps you guessing throughout the entire story. She and some of us just really hate, I know Carl does, when we start liking a series and there's only season one or maybe a season two and then that's it. Haven ran 6, 7 seasons, not quite sure, and it was quite satisfying the whole way through. And so did you ever watch it, Carl?
No, I never did, and I need to. I need to. There's so much in this particular time frame that I just didn't catch, and it's unfortunate. But we're talking about kick-ass women. While Rachel is gone, I want to just mention someone.
I'm here, but yeah.
Okay. So I want to mention someone from a movie, and the movie is Your Name, and it was directed by Adam Wingard, and it's basically the Menu basically stole the story from this in a lot of ways. It's a family get-together, and one of the sons brings his new girlfriend, and in a very one-off line, she says, well, I grew up in a survivalist family. And she just says that. Well, then all hell breaks loose. Boy, let me tell you something. Does Sharni Vinson just absolutely kick ass? This movie is just incredible. And I know that Vicki, you're not into horror films, and I know you're not into home invasion, but this woman is just fantastic. And there are a couple of kills in there that, seriously, I stood up and applauded. Now, I was watching it on my computer, but I would have done that anyway if I was in the theater. She just and what finally happens to her, and that just absolutely is you know, somewhat heartbreaking and also you know, amazing, because she's the only one that's left. She's the only one that survives. I don't know much about the actress, but the character of Erin and You're Next is fantastic. Now, Rachel, do you know that film? Can you back me up on this?
I do not know that film.
Okay, well then, just take my word for it. Take my word for it, because
okay. She's
really, really good.
That sounds
okay. So
good.
Onward to someone else.
Okay, so I would like to mention somebody that you know. in the whole Marvel universe, we get lost with everyone with their superpowers and all that kind of stuff. But there was this great little television show. Not many people ever heard of it. And it was called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And one of my very favorite actresses, I know we're talking characters and we're going to get to that. One of my favorite actresses who has done a lot of science fiction, she did the voice in the Final Fantasy movie. Dang it, what's the name of that? Final Fantasy Spirits Within?
Yeah, something
she
like that.
Yeah, and she was my favorite character, and she told the story, and she was the narrator in Joy Luck Club. And that's Ming-Na Wen, and she is just this really, really fantastic person in real life. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., she played Melinda May. And Melinda May, at first, the very first time you see Melinda May, it is when Agent Coulson is asking her to come be on his team, and she's like, no. You know my history. You know everything. I just want this desk job. And you know, because you've known her before, that, you know, that's not going to happen because she's this really well-known actress, but she's a desk job. And as the first season unwinds and it starts her character arc, you see this woman who has had to go to the lengths of doing some really super tough things in life because she's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is, you know, like being in the military or something, but she's not superhuman like Captain Marvel. She's a regular human being with some really fine kick butt skills. I mean, she knows, I don't know what you call it these days, karate, jujitsu, all that stuff. She just can kick butt, but she has a very guarded heart. And so this character, Melinda May character, goes through a wonderful arc where you're scared to death of her because you'd never want to fight her, but man, I want to know what made her this way. And then we get introduced to her husband, we get introduced to heartache, we get introduced to a deep love, things that have changed this character. And so she's three-dimensional, strong. That's one reason to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There's also the main character who's played by Chloe Bennett, Daisy Johnson, who is – but this show has strong female characters. And I would suggest it for the strong female characters. Of course, it's an ABC show. It is Marvel. It has its tropes, and it has its, you know, the way the series goes and the way the episodic TV show goes, all of that, okay? But it's also really good for strong women. And so I wanted to mention that because it – came out in the mid-2000s.
It also has Clark Gregg, too, who I just absolutely adore as Agent Coulson.
Yes. Yes, Phil Coulson. We all of us who are very intimate with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. know Clark Gregg really well. Yes. There's few people I would walk into fire for or with, and Agent Coulson is one of them. Ask Melinda May.
Yes, agreed.
Who didn't want to go back into service. But anyway, yes. Ming-Na is a great actress who has done lots of sci-fi and lots of strong women. So if you're looking for an actress to go out and find a strong woman role, she's a really good person to...
agreed.
Why don't we talk about Fringe? I wanted to talk about this before with Rachel. And,
oh, my God,
Fringe. I know. So, Fringe, but, you know, before we even talk about Fringe, we should talk about the pants passing of Lance Reddick. I know this is the strong female show character, but Lance Reddick is he was an integral part of Fringe, and Olivia Dunham, the strong female main character, could not have been who she was without her commander, and that was Lance Reddick in the Fringe show. And so, so I just think that Lance meant more to me than a lot of people understand. But we're going to talk about Fringe, okay? What do you think, Rachel?
Yeah. I fucking love Fringe. And yes, Lance Reddick passing really hit me a little hard, because that was one of those shows, like one of those very few shows that I actually posted about after I benched it and was like, can anybody tell me if there's like some more shit out there? Is there some more Fringe on the horizon? Is there a spinoff that I don't know about? Like, I need some more of this shit now, like tapping my veins like a fucking junkie, okay? Yeah, I have a thing for that show.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought that one up, because I totally forgot. I can't believe that.
You know, Olivia Dunham was, of course, the main character, very strong female. If you know Fringe, you know that there's parallel universes. There's two Olivia Dunhams. They're the same person, two sides of the same thing going on here. But there's also a couple of other actresses or characters in that story that at first you don't think they're very strong, and one of them is Astrid. What do you think about Astrid? She puts up with Bishop's, Walter's, with everything Walter does, and she takes care of him, and she's a great scientist, and she does it with this quiet strength that is just, I love Astrid. I love her.
Astrid, to me, is the epitome of quiet grace, okay?
Yes, yes.
Like, and she, I think there's a lot of the relationship with Astrid and Bishop that we don't see. I mean, they do allude to it about how, you know, sometimes, you know, him forgetting her name is really just because he's a forgetful doctor, but sometimes he's doing it on purpose and letting her know, like, he's aware of things, because it's like their own inside joke.
Yeah.
And it's an inside joke that was never explained to us as the viewer, because it didn't need to be. It wasn't our joke to understand.
You know, I think the writers didn't even know they were writing that in, because they're some of the most stupid writers of all time in that show, which that's another show,
I know,
too. But I think the actors did that. I really do think that they thought about their characters and they started putting that in as a side. I do.
You know, I can see that, because I agree with you about those writers. They had some idiocy going on in some places. And
yes,
one of the biggest idiocies was that they really canceled that show without giving it a good wrap up, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like they let a lot.
That's because of what happened in their personal lives. They let their personal lives destroy the ending of that show, like they did with Lost also. So, you know, these people don't care. As long as they are riding the next high and their reputations are up there, they don't care about their characters. And they were all going to Star Trek. And now if you look at anything Star Trek on Paramount, you're going to find every single one of their names involved in it. And Star Trek 9 came out right as Fringe was about to end, and nobody wanted to end it, just like Lost. Ugh. Okay, that's another whole show.
Now, see, I was working in television when Lost happened, but I never watched it because my other supervisor, that was the only time he insisted on segmenting that show when it came down from the satellite because he watched it. It was like the one show he watched, and he would get his fucking hour every week while we were airing that show. So I never watched it, but I understand how upset everybody was because I saw the collective, what the fuck?
Yeah.
In the
studio
when it ended.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and one more, Nina Sharp on, we could talk about the men and their iconic characters in Fringe, but Nina Sharp, at first you look at her and you think, oh, she might be the head of all this, but she's a puppet. And yet as her arc starts to be revealed, she's not a puppet. And she has been working for, in on her own side for the things that she sees that need to be, the wrongs need to be righted. And so Nina has this wonderful character arc also, and I would put her in the strong woman category. Because at first it just seems
absolutely.
Like, oh, she's there, she's a figurehead. She's just there because they needed a woman in this character, you know. But her, so they have, there's three very strong women characters in Fringe. Fringe is just a fantastic show, although, you know, like so many others, ends kind of blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had to mention Fringe as we're moving along. And so...
Okay, Rach, you got one?
Yeah.
You know, I'm coming up kind of blankish here. I know that there's more.
Okay. I've got
okay. Well, I've got one to actually give to you because we talked about it about a week ago. Let's talk about Hit Girl from Kick-Ass.
Oh my God! No, that's one we have to start with the actress, Chloe Grace Moretz. I said it right this time, Carl.
Yes, you did.
She picked a badass role to begin with and then just kept going. She's another one of those, like Mia Jovovich, that just picked badass female roles.
You know what she did before that? Before Kick-Ass?
I'm trying to remember, actually. I'm pulling her.
Let the Right One In, the American version.
That's
I know
right.
That because... A friend of mine, he loves her. Don't tell his girlfriend, but he loves her. And he's like, come to the movies with me and watch this movie. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not really into vampires and stuff. He goes, come to this movie and watch it with me. So I went, and I'm just like, oh, my God. He goes, see why I love her? Yeah, she's fantastic. She has talent just oozing out of her, out of that gorgeous hair of hers.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. And so she's, like, in a lot of really good things. You know, she was in the new Suspiria, too.
Yeah.
But let's
she does
see. What was the other one?
Peripheral.
She really...
She's the main character in Amazon Prime's Peripheral series.
Yeah, and she's great. She's freaking great in that show. I love that show. Love that show. Seriously.
Yeah.
And she kicked ass on that.
I think she's amazing.
Go ahead. Yeah, agree. The one thing I like about her in Kick-Ass, there's a scene where she's going off on some people and they're doing it to the tune of the Banana Split show.
Yeah.
Which I think is just brilliant. I keep running that segment in my brain. And it's funny and it's Kick-Ass and she's fantastic. So yeah, we definitely had to talk about Chloe Moretz.
Yes, because I love her. I love her as Hit Girl. And I just saw her in something recently. I'm trying to figure it out what it was, but she was amazing. And yeah, I think I did watch The Peripheral. No offense, but
she's
hated
really
those new Addams Family movies, the animated ones. But she was a voice.
Yeah.
She was the voice of Wednesday in both of those. So give her credit. Wednesday is a badass character. So Yeah,
absolutely.
But I'm really trying to figure out what I saw her in. Anyway, I talked to
that
Carl
movie,
about her.
That parallel, I can't think of the name of it if I pulled her. There's a movie on Netflix, yeah, that she's a pilot, and she gets pulled into World War II in kind of like a parallel universe, multi-universe thing. And so, yeah, that she's absolutely perfect in that movie, too. That was...
I've got one I want to mention.
COVID.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I'm done.
I do want to mention one other, and it's a particular film. And we might not think of Saoirse Ronan as a kick-ass person, but you change your mind if you see the movie Hannah. She's phenomenal in that. Do you know the movie I'm talking about? They actually made a TV series of it, too, which I've not seen.
Which is not very good.
Saoirse Ronan is just fantastic.
Yeah, the movie is much better. I really enjoyed the movie. Movie is much better than the TV show. But the TV show ran, as Amazon always does with its really bad TV shows, it always gives them 3 or 4 seasons. So if you watch it and you like it, you have a few seasons to watch. But the movie is great, and she is. She's a young lady who has extraordinary skills, plus her father has taught her all kinds of different survival techniques. And so it is a woman, a young girl, not young, like she's a teenager, a young teenager who has to fend for herself in the wilderness and then the city that she's never lived in a city. And so it's really a fascinating character.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, so we're getting into the 2010s, which is a real expansion for the female, the kick-ass female character. You know, the woke stuff started, so we've got one here, we've got one there, we've got one everywhere. But here's the thing. When you start drawing from books are normally written long before made of it. And these books were not written too far before the TV show was started. But there were a couple of guys who started making a video game. They wanted to make a space video game, which, of course, I knew it from the very beginning because I was going to pre-order because I love space video games. I can't stay away from them. And so then suddenly Sony took its money away from these guys, and they're like, look, we've done all this world building. What are we going to do with all of this? They didn't want to give up on their story or their characters. So they wrote a series of books. There was a trilogy at first that came out, and these books were fantastically accepted by the sci-fi community. And then Sci-Fi Channel is looking for a new TV series because they don't have anything because Stargate Universe was canceled and blah, 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 a lot of that kind of stuff. And so they created The Expanse from these books. And the one thing these two guys knew very well when they were creating the video game is not only did they have to have strong male characters, but they also had to have strong female characters because they were writing for a brand new audience. And so we get the television series, The Expanse. And oh my God, do we have some of the greatest modern day female kick-ass characters that have ever, ever been on television. I know that sounds, whoa, that's a lot. That's a lot. They have to live up to a lot. But guess what? They do live up to it. And so who are we going to start with? Carl, did you ever watch it?
No, I actually have not. Rachel, have you?
I'm going to be very honest, and I know unpopular opinion here, but I have tried no less than 4 different times to start trying to watch The Expanse, and it is just not my kind of sci-fi.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but
I tried a couple episodes
it.
Too.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really get started until after the 3rd episode, but there is a huge, huge fan following of The Expanse. Huge.
Oh, I know. My uncle fucking loves it.
Yeah, because it's so good. It's good space science fiction. And it is what all of us who grew up in a certain era, believing that we would be out at least on the moon and Mars by now, these are scenarios that we all thought we'd be living right now. People born in space. You know, if you're going to be born on Mars, if you're going to be born on the moon or out in the belt, you are not going to have the same kind of body that people born on Earth are. We have a tremendous gravity here. And out there, there's nothing that comes close to our gravity that humans can actually live on. And so to create this whole idea of belter space, which is the new poor community. They are the slave workers. They work, they supply water and minerals to Earth and Mars. It's a brilliant idea, but it began as a genesis of a video game so that we could be flying our little ships out doing mining, doing this and that out there, but it became something greater. And so then we have these, we have one of the worst male lead characters of all, James Holden. Ugh, a lot of people don't like the lead male, so good we're not talking about the males. But the first one that we're introduced to is, of course, Naomi Nagata, who is very downplayed at the beginning of this series, and she's a very an engineer genius. And so just on that, just that she can build anything. If it's wrecked, she can fix it. She's just really fantastic at that, and that's a good character that young girls have not ever seen. Okay, but then we've got Frankie Adams, or Roberta Draper, who's a Marine from Mars, who is super, super loyal and moral. And what happens to her character arc is that she is forced to choose between her loyalty to Mars and her morals. And it gets very, very muddy, and she's a kick-ass. She can kick anybody's butt. She's smart. She is a character that girls can look up to, that us women can get behind. Then, of course, we have Kristen Avasarala, who is, in some respects, one of the sneakiest and borderline evil characters on Earth, but she ends up doing the right thing all the time. Her heart always wins over these other things that she has to do because she's almost the president of Earth. In fact, she almost becomes president of Earth, and that's a big job, I would imagine. But she swears like a sailor, and everyone loves her. She's smart. She can lead. She has vision. She has that vision like, well, if we do this, this is what's going to happen down the line. If we do that, this is what's going to happen. So we have all these strong female characters to get yourself behind. But my favorite is the belter character of Kamina Drummer. She is tough. She is loyal. She has a heart of gold. And if you come up against her, she'll kill you. And I love her because she's me. She's totally me. I love this show. Russell loved this show. I love this show. And I've read the books, and I love the book. And the show go right along, but just as the people of The Last of Us have seen, it's very hard to translate those games and books you love to film because film is a different medium. So you have to give each medium its grain of salt. But I can't think of women in the middle of the 2010s, 2015 or so, that were stronger than these characters on this show.
Oh, I have I have one I would recommend.
Yeah.
That I think is strong as hell. And that would be Furiosa.
Oh, yeah, she's right here. She's, yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about Kara Thrace. We better go backwards. And so,
but
yeah, Furiosa, let's look at Mad Max Fury Road. It's named
mm-hmm.
after her, Fury Road. Well, go ahead, Carl.
Well, we grew up with Mad Max, okay?
Yeah.
And I saw the original film at a drive-in with the Australian accents. And Mad Max, the character, is more of a everything coalesces around him. And in this particular film, which is in the mid-2010s, came out, so many people complain, well, the movie's not really about him. It's not. It's about Furiosa. And then, of course, you know, the sequel, which is actually a prequel, will be coming out next year, from what I understand. But Charlize Theron plays this character who is basically one of a harem that wants to get out of it and hooks up with Mad Max and just totally, totally kicks ass. And
fucking
she does
annihilates,
so without an arm.
Dude. There is no
yeah.
other way
yeah.
to say it. She doesn't kick
right.
ass. She annihilates. She smokes
yes.
those motherfuckers.
Yes, she does. Yes, those, good word, Rachel. Yeah, she doesn't kick ass. She doesn't. She's there for a purpose. Her purpose is clear to her, and she's not going to let
mm-hmm.
any. Oh yeah, wait. And also, she's missing one arm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
But I said that actually.
Oh,
I did say
I'm
she
sorry.
Was missing an arm.
Yes. Just a prosthesis that's made in post-apocalyptic times, right? Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And she beats
and
the crap out of Mad Max.
Yep. She does.
He deserves it. He's kind of an
yes.
asshole.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Kind of a failing there, but.
And I got to say something about the film itself. I remember watching that film in the theater. And the direction by George Miller and the practical effects. And, of course, they also throw in the cars that ate Paris, but that's beside the point. Just all the action and all the incredible stunts in that. It was like I was on a roller coaster and I couldn't get off and I didn't want to get off. And it was just an amazing film. I think it's the best action film of the millennium so far. As far as I'm concerned. And she's at the heart
by far.
Of it. She's at the heart. Go ahead, Vic.
Well, I think that the film editing for that film, I was trying to see if it won. I know that it was it was nominated that year for Academy Award in Design, Sound Mixing, which the sound is freaking with the editing and the sound mixing and production design, they should have won all those Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
That movie was the best movie. I remember my son and I, my youngest son and I, we went to see it together. And that 45 minutes from the beginning of the movie till the first breather, where you can actually take a breath, is 45 minutes. And we drew in these breaths, and we looked at each other, and we were just like, oh, my God. And then we went back to watching the film. That was an event. That was not going to the movies to watch a movie, which we thought we were doing. We went, and we saw an event. It was that stunning. Absolutely stunning film. The Academy that year was, you know, as full of poo-poo as they always are. And that movie should have just raked in the awards.
Yeah, agreed.
It did get best film editing, which, Jesus, it should have. You know,
yeah.
So. But, yeah, you're right. Absolutely, that. And then we skipped over one of the biggest controversial characters, female badass characters of all of the 21st century, because we mentioned all the ones that were totally accepted. Even Furiosa, once the movie came out, there was no more controversy, right? It was just like, whoa, that's quite a film.
Oh, no, there are still people that are pissed off, trust me.
Well, those are just
I didn't
the
see
fanboys.
Much of that.
Yeah,
but yeah, fanboys always get pissed, and I actually clean my face with pissed off fanboy tears every day.
Yeah,
it's a really good astringent.
It is.
I'm telling
it's really
you.
Acidy, and you know,
it's better than witch hazel, man.
Oh man, yeah, and so no. Because, you know, at first, because I am such a fan, because I was working graveyard shift at the IRS back when the original Battlestar Galactica first came out in the late 70s. I was, like, head over heels for the show. I would miss it because I'm working graveyard shift, and it was just a tragedy of my life. And so finally, you know, the reruns happened. I got to see it all. I was so happy. And then 2001, 2003, Sci-Fi Channel is looking for something new because they're changing. They're getting rid of the Stargate SG-1. They're trying to start up new stuff for the 21st century. And then Rick Berman pitches, well, why don't we do a reboot of Battlestar Galactica? And then as they're, I'm like, cool, you know, I'm here, I'm reading all this stuff about it. You know, the internet is new to all of us, and I'm reading lots of sci-fi blogs and chat pages and stuff. And then they announced that, well, they're going to change it up, and they're going to change the character Starbuck from male to female. And there were so many of us that are like, oh, how could you actually do that? You can't do that. That's not right, blah, 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 blah. And then came the premiere of that miniseries, Battlestar Galactica. And it was kind of like the Fury Road thing, because it wasn't just a miniseries. It was an event. Because you've never seen the Cylons. You're always afraid of the Cylons, but you've never seen exactly what they're going to do to destroy the 13 colonies or the 12 colonies. And watching it was just unbelievable. And then they introduced Starbuck. And you know what? From the moment she was introduced, it was like, oh, wow, you are Starbuck. And so Katie Sackhoff has always been Starbuck to me from then on. Sorry, Dirk. I really liked you as Starbuck in the old, but you're a little too snarky for me. I like Katie Sackhoff. She kicked butt in that whole series. She carried that series in many ways. And so I feel really bad that I didn't mention her earlier.
Okay, so I feel bad for I don't think we mentioned this one because I know it's a 90s and later.
Yeah.
Now my love starts from the movie that did eventually become a very long running and well respected TV show, and that's the motherfucking Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Talking. Go ahead. Sorry.
From the first movie, you know, Christy Swanson playing Buffy, and just the cheesiest, best lines I've ever heard. Like, kill him a lot. She didn't want to be a badass. She just wanted to be a dumb fucking cheerleader. Oh, my God. Unfortunately, she was born to be a badass.
Right.
And, like, the whole time, I mean, she is just the most long-suffering character, to the point that when the show, which, yes, I also binged again recently, very recently, you know, she ends the show by, like, diving into hell. And then they bring her back, and she's like, ah, just put me back where I was. It was so peaceful. Like, that is a character whose suffering never fucking ends.
Right. Right. Poor thing. Oh, wait. I've heard rumor they want to bring her back.
Oh, I know. And I'm like, no. Please, no, please don't do this. If you've seen the last episode of the series, it's just like, please, please don't bring her back again. She fucking hates you for this.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
But, you know, they're going to do it. They're going to do it for a modern generation. They're going to try. And now I'm going to say that Willow... She was a badass character, you know, played by the wonderful Allison Hannigan.
Right.
But I don't want to call her a badass female character because there was that whole thing where she broke the fuck down and, you know, basically destroyed the world because she was pissed off about her girlfriend.
Right,
you know, there was that.
There was that. There was that moment.
Other than that, I mean,
weakness.
If you can get past that, then yeah, she was pretty fucking great.
Right. Right. You know what? I have to say this too. Okay. Go ahead.
No. You go right ahead. Go for it.
No, it's not about Buffy. I was going to change the subject. So go ahead.
Okay. So we just talked about Buffy. I need to, at very least, put a nice little shout out for Dollhouse and Eliza Dushku, who plays Echo.
Oh, she was in Buffy, and then she was in Angel.
Right.
Yeah, and then she was in Dollhouse. And I was going to talk about that earlier, but yeah, Echo, Dollhouse, amazingness.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was also great as Faith, who did end up ultimately, I think, not entirely being a bad guy. So there's that.
Right.
She did, in Angel, she did change.
And
so did
Cordelia.
Yes, and so did Cordelia. Yeah, because Cordelia was all about me. I'm me. Me.
No, Cordelia sucked all of the way through the entirety of the Buffy series. And she sucked in the beginning of Angel, too.
Right, she
did. But she got better. And then she got fucked over. Oh, my God. When, like, Doyle died and shit. God. Yeah, I was so mad about that. I was like, how did you make me care about this, like, stupid bitch? And, anyway.
I want to get back to Dollhouse because it's not just Eliza Dushku in that. Okay? She plays the main character, but there are so many great females in that series. There's Dishon Lackman as Sierra. There's Amy Acker as Dr. Saunders. There's Melly, played by who is it? Miracle Laurie. And Olivia Williams. Every one of them are kick-ass women, and I love that.
They are.
I think it's
and even when they're like kind of evil.
Yes.
You're like,
yeah.
I mean, they're still God. And can I just say that as a girl, not as a costumer or anything like that, but just as a girl. Holy shit, I want everything in that wardrobe department. Just all of it.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. So, yeah, I had to do my shout-out.
The costume designers for that show had a shit ton of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There, I don't know if you've ever seen Shadow and Bone on Netflix. The second season has come out. But, oh, my God, I don't know who does the costuming, but their clothes are outstanding. Everything. The color palette is unbelievably just perfect. We're watching episode 2 of season 2 yesterday, and we're watching it, and we're talking about the clothing. It's like, look at that embroidery. Yeah.
I haven't seen the second season yet, but I have seen the first season, and I love their weird mix of like Russian, Chinese, and fantasy.
Yes, like,
it's fresh, but feels so just like
it feels like that feeling when you're like, I get this place because this place gets me. And that's exactly what I want to see. I want to see the richness of the textures of this world that they are in. It's so different than what I live, and I buy into it. God, you have to see the second season because they bring some of the wardrobe from the first season back into the second season, and it just mixes so well. It's just incredible.
I am so excited because that is one of the things I look forward to is there are certain shows I could watch just for the costuming. And Dollhouse was one of those just because, it was kind of like some kitschy, like sexy shit sometimes, but it was also really cool. And I love shows like that. But Shadow and Bone is also really interesting because after that dude walked into the darkness, I am just like, what is going on here?
It is a very intriguing story. I've never read the books, but I think I'm going to, once season 2 is over for me, I think I'm going to buy the books because I'm really getting into the whole mythology of the entire world. It's just, it seems to have some very deep world building in it. I like it.
Well, I have one for you that also has a very strong, badass female lead, and it was originally a book by Neil Gaiman, turned into a miniseries on the BBC, and that is Neverwhere. Dor is an amazing, badass female. I mean, she shows up like bleeding on the sidewalk and these people shouldn't even be able to see her, but she somehow just through her force of will was like the way to get some help. And ultimately through a whole series of really fucked up things ends up avenging her family and finding some modicum of happiness. Maybe it does involve fucking up a lot of other people's lives, but okay.
Yeah, well, that's mostly what it's all about, right? No.
Neverwhere is amazing. I actually have, of course, I have the book. Actually, one of my prized possessions is my signed copy of that book, because it was the first Neil Gaiman book I read, and it was, a book that had a strong female lead. It was, written through the eyes of the dude in the story, but she was the main character.
Right. And you know what? Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of strong gaming characters, female characters, if we left the show and I didn't name them, I would be, my sons would be very angry with me because in the gaming world, we all know, especially us who have been gaming for a very long time, and we have felt the nitpicking and the absolute hatred towards women at times, and the costuming for female characters is just so awful that, you know, we have a really, really hard time with it. But through all of it, we still game because we love to game because we're gamers at heart. And but there are some gaming characters that are kick-ass females that broke all the tropes. Those who wrote them not with the skimpy outfits in space or in fantasy in mind, but to write really good characters. And the first one I have to mention is number one on most all gaming sites of female game characters, and that's Samus Aran of Metroid. Samus, we all played Metroid back when scroll games were the king of gaming. And we're scrolling and we're playing Metroid and we're killing Metroids everywhere and we get to the end of Metroid and blah, 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 blah. And then Samus finally takes off her helmet. And we think that Samus is a male because we're just trained that way. And we find out that Samus is actually a female with blonde hair, which for me, that was like, oh my God. She's female and she has blonde hair. Fucking A, yes. So I'm telling you, when I beat that game and she took off her helmet for the first time, and she's just one of those scroll little things, you know, you can see the damn pixels, right? But she's definitely a female and she's definitely blonde, long hair. That's when I used to have long hair. Wow. Okay, and then the game's just going. Metroid 2 and Metroid Prime, all of those games. So Samus is number one female gaming character. But there are others. And, you know, Final Fantasy has a lot of them. And my cat is named after one of the Final Fantasy characters, and that's Tifa. But Final Fantasy has several female characters that you can game or not. And then I would be very remiss if I didn't say the name Lara Croft. Lara Croft has survived two centuries, the end of the 20th century and into the 21st century, and she's been remade, and she's still just as frickin' famous. And I was
oh, my God, have you seen the new games?
Yeah, they're
the new Tomb Raiders.
People
Holy
are
shit.
Loving that game.
And she's
people,
completely covered up.
Yes.
Like,
well,
and
they
she
decided,
like wears real clothes. And,
yes.
And it's great because like my ex played it all the time and I was like, I do not mind this too. Like I didn't mind any of them because they're all puzzle games. So they're
right,
fun.
Right, they're all
but,
puzzle games. They're fun.
But once they finally vamped her up and, like, gave her, I consider it a glow up, like, she gets to wear real clothes and
clothing,
still be super hot and an adventurer and, like, solve smart puzzles and shit. Like, it's amazing. I love what they've done with Lara Croft, and I really hope that they start doing that in the movies because, frankly, I wasn't real happy with the Angelina Jolie movies. Did she look like Lara Croft? Yes, indeed.
Yes.
But
that was
video game movies, a lot of times for me, just they fail.
Right, because they didn't know how to do it. They were TV or film execs going in saying, look at how many people are playing these games, how much money is being made. We should take that and make a movie of it without understanding the context that people play games for. Because we play games for different reasons than watch movies. I'll play a game, and then I'll turn it off, and I'll go watch a movie for a completely different reason. It took them a long time to figure that out. And so that's why we got the first Lara Croft. And so, no, people are raving about the new games, And that's nothing but good. Good, 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 good. My third one is the boss from Metal Gear Solid, Snake Eater. Metal Gear is the reason why I actually started gaming myself. I used to play on my son's games. All the games I bought them, the Sega, the Sega Genesis, and I bought my first Nintendo for myself. They were too little. But anyway, all the other ones, the PS4 or the PS game, the PS1, 2, 3, 4, blah, blah, blah. I got into with the controller and everything with the Metal Gear Solid games. And then what's revealed? Who's the boss? Who's the boss? The boss is a kick-ass female. She's the one who is guiding everything. And that was a game reveal. I think it was leaked before. That was a game reveal that was just stunning. And for female gamers, that was a game changer right there. It was total game changer. We already had Lara Croft, and we already had Samus, but we didn't know that our favorite Metal Gear game was actually being our story was being dictated by the female and a female character, and that was just awesome. And then one more, I have to mention one more because she's my famous of all time. My famous fan. I mean, I love Samus. I absolutely love Samus. But because Nintendo is so picky, they won't make a new one. And Ellie is really absolutely fantastic for Last of Us, and I really like her. But and I love Cortana also in Halo, and now I'm going to get to this other game. Cortana was extremely important to the Halo series, and she's an AI, but she's a she. Cortana is female in her persona. But number one, in Mass Effect, you get to choose, are you going to play male or female? And there are 100,000 of us, if there's one of us, there's a million of us that play female Shepard. And female Shepard in Mass Effect 1, 2, and God, thank you so much for 3. That character is the iconic go-to. Who's your favorite gaming character? Almost everyone, women, say Commander Shepard, of course. And so Commander Shepard is, like, super important because we got to choose. There was the male or the female, and it was the first time we got to take a female through the depth of something we got to take a male through. Throughout this game, you get to choose how the character responds to other characters and other situations, and Commander Shepard, as a female, gets to choose. And so this was a breakthrough in gaming. So I just had to mention these fantastic female characters.
I'm glad you
one
did,
more?
Vic.
One more?
You know, because I don't know games at all. Hold on. But I do have to say that we are getting into the 2-hour mark. So are there any other people you want to mention briefly before we get into housekeeping? We'll go around one more time.
Katniss Everdeen is an iconic figure for a lot of women a lot younger than I am. And I think that I would be remiss if I didn't mention that, because when those books were coming out, I was still a high school teacher, and I saw how the books turned into movies were affecting a whole group of teenage girls. Katniss was like their go-to. Maybe I'd like to be as strong as Katniss in my life. And so
Katniss was the anti-Bella Swan.
Yes.
And I fucking loved them for it. Did I think that those books had the best writing? No. Did I read all of them? Yes. Do I regret reading them? Not at all.
Was she a relatively strong character? Absolutely. So I have, like, zero problem with people loving the Hunger Games series. Because, hell, it got a lot of people reading, kind of like Harry Potter did in my day, you know? So,
exactly. It started dipping, and then those first came the Twilight, and I'm like, oh, God, why are you reading that? And then came the Hunger Games, and they all went right to the Hunger Games, and they loved it more.
Yeah, and I actually, that's part of why I read the Hunger Games. Like, I was like, I have to support this. Because I did read all of the Twilight books, and I was an adult when I read them because all of my friends were reading them, and they were so in love with it. But, you know, they're not my friends anymore, and I'm pretty sure these were the same kind of bitches that were reading Fifty Shades of Grey. So definitely not the badass kind of woman we want to be talking about today. I 100% like you were saying with 12 Monkeys, just because it's not my thing doesn't mean I can't support that as a badass female character. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
So do you have one more, Rach, that you want to mention?
Well, since Vicky mentioned video games and AI, I mean, I didn't know we were allowed to bring up female AI. I'm going to mention my favorite badass female AI, not necessarily because she's a great character, but she's definitely the most fun. And I'm just going to say this and see if anybody out there can guess, but the cake is a lie. Okay. GLaDOS.
Okay. Yep, I was wrong.
GLaDOS from Portal?
Yeah.
From Portal 2? Really, Portal 2? Yes,
I was
the cake is a lie. She promises you cake.
I know. Okay, I used to go to work being stuck in a room, and I would think, oh, I'd be working. I'm teaching school, and I'm thinking, how the hell am I going to get out of that room? I know there's a trick, and I haven't seen it yet. Oh, my God, I love that game. You're right, GLaDOS. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. One of my favorite pastimes is literally just watching people doing, like, those weird proposal videos. Like, this one guy did a fucking whole, like, Portal-style movie that he played at the movie theater and blah, blah, blah. It's fucking great. And I have all kinds of Portal shit in my house, like, directly relating to GLaDOS, and I have drawings of the companion cubes and shit, so... Yeah, GLaDOS is definitely my favorite because she is the snarkiest, bitchiest, most condescending, and hilarious female AI I've ever seen in my life. GLaDOS for the win.
Okay, and I have one more to mention, which we haven't mentioned. It's not an AI, but I'm surprised nobody has mentioned Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow.
Because
I don't like Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow.
Oh, okay, never mind.
I do like her. I like her. But
I do too.
That's like a completely different category. Ripley is a badass female character because she has no superpowers. She has no anything. She's just trying to live and survive this really creepy thing that she's in. Now, Black Widow doesn't really have a lot of superpowers. She's not really endowed with anything other than extraordinary
strength.
Well, I'm trying to think. Acrobatic skills.
Yeah.
And coordination.
Agility.
Yeah, agility. That's the good word. Okay. She has these things. Plus, she has really cool weapons. Plus, she's part of the Marvel universe. So she's kind of different, even in, you know, fictional category, female categories. Okay. Whereas even Katniss, I mean, she was good with the bow because she practiced and practiced and practiced, but she has no
extraordinary. Because she had to shoot food.
Yes, you when you have to when you want to eat and you have to kill your food, you become really good at it or you die.
Mm-hmm.
And so Black Widow is in a different category, I think. Even the women in Expanse, none of them have superpowers.
I don't think she does have superpowers. She's just was really well trained as a Russian agent. She has no superpowers. That's why I mentioned her.
She's such a background character, even in her own story, that mm-hmm. she just doesn't come across as a badass woman to me. She really just comes across, especially the way that they portray her in the, you know, cellularly tight fucking vinyl suit and shit. It's just like she's there for eye candy to me.
Okay,
yeah,
I can see that. So that's why she wasn't mentioned. See, I need to know that.
Yeah, and that's
same
reason Elektra was never mentioned, because she was in the comic books, and in the comic books that she was a badass, but in none of the iterations that we've seen anybody try in the past couple of decades has she been worth a shit. So, you know, it's like, no, she's not a badass because she's mostly been a failure.
Okay.
I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, you're allowed to say that. Absolutely. Ladies, I want to thank you very much for being on the show. I just want to go very quickly and do a do housekeeping. But before I do, we are going to continue our series. I know that we're going to be doing another intense show, the three of us, and look forward to that. We'll get that all scheduled up. But at this point, I do want to mention that this past Monday, we had a podcast, and I will, for the New York City Science Fiction Film Festival, which I will be attending on Saturday, we had it with Daniel Abella, and I just want, if you're in the New York City area, it's going to be held in the Times Square area, and please listen to our podcast or message me and I'll get you the information. I also posted it on my personal page today, and that's Carl Kafer, KarlKaefer, or just Google the New York City Sci-Fi Film Festival 2023. Okay, now tomorrow...
I also want to mention, the other part of that is that I will be attending virtually on Sunday. They will be doing a virtual film festival that's basically a rerun, but also gives you video on demand access to all of the movies that are going to be run for the festival. And they're going to be doing Q&As afterwards, just like they do for the in-person festival on Saturday. I know that, like, after fees and everything, my ticket was only, like, $26, so it's totally worth it. They have a massive lineup. I personally cannot wait. Yeah, so don't forget that they are doing virtual for those of us that aren't in New York City, so...
There you go.
Yeah, they're actually sold out. They don't have any room for any films. This is one of their biggest years, and especially COVID, it's the biggest year. And so that's just a fantastic thing.
Yeah, Daniel
and
has worked very, very hard to get
out
this
of
together.
The virtual tickets, so.
No, I'm sure you could get onto it on the virtual. No question. No question. So there you go. And I'll be there from about 10:30 to probably around 6. I'm not going to stick around the whole thing. I also got a virtual ticket so I can catch up on the stuff I missed. So that's what we've got.
Awesome.
Yeah. Now, tomorrow, Rachel and I are going to be doing a commentary watch for Women's History Month. And we're going to be watching Hidden Figures, which is on Disney+. Okay, and then on Sunday, we have Rock This Town Radio with TC, a half century later, 1973. And both TC and I were in high school, and if you took a look at either his page or mine, you actually see a picture of me from 1973, and it's a very scary thing. And I apologize for everyone that has seen it. So I just wanted everyone to know that. So that's what we have coming up this week. You're welcome. And again, Vicki and Rachel, thank you very, very much. This has been a great two-parter, and you guys are the best. Seriously, I wouldn't have done this show without the two of you.
Period. Gosh, shucks. You sure know how to make a girl blush, don't you, buddy?
I'm just kicking the dirt right now. I'm feeling so happy.
And yes, actually, I'm glad you mentioned dirt because in the next week or two, Vicki and I will be doing a commentary watch of Something in the Dirt with Stephen Ronquillo on his network. So we're going to be on there in a couple of weeks. We just got to figure when that's going to be. So there you go.
Why?
And I want to just thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow for Hidden Figures. All right. Thank you, ladies.
Can't wait.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. Bye.
Okay, bye. Say good night. Good night.